Praise the Lord. That's right. If we had nothing else that could make us happy, then alone the thought to be a possession of the Lord, to have received eternal life, to have been pardoned, a child of God. There are enough children of men. By grace, we could become children of God. What a privilege God has given us. The word that was read was so precious. And one notices how acquainted the men of God were with the plan of God, with the will of God, from what kind of depth they were drawing. For us, it is even today precious, for we draw from the same fullness. John the Baptist said, out of his fullness we received grace for grace. And the same we can say until this very day. We draw from a fountain that never ebbs. It's not a cistern with a moldy water. It is the fountain of life. The smitten rock from which the water of life comes forth. And our Lord said, let him who is athirst come and drink. And we may also this afternoon come to God by faith. He didn't disappoint us yet, and also today he will not disappoint us. I would like already now to ask you to pray for me. God willing, on Thursday at 11 o'clock, it goes into the air with a plane for a short time in Europe, and then to Africa, and then back to Zurich, and then back again to Krefeld. Everything as God leads, as he wants it. Not mine, not our, but his will be done. Many would like to hear the word of God. And then I think on those who could hear it here and don't think it to be necessary to come. It is happening like in the days of the kings of Israel, as we read it this morning. The one says it will be here, the other there. Everybody makes a thing for himself. People become priests. After wantonness, the divine order is disregarded. And so everybody does as in the time of the judges. You all know the stories in Judges. And then there's written one verse. In those days, everybody did what he liked. And that's how it was at all times. People who cannot submit under God or don't want to submit, they do what they like without understanding in what kind of way God is walking forward, how he leads his people and leads them from clarity to clarity. The most painful it is always if one meets people who want to build a monument for Brother Branham. There are still some today who would walk by foot over the ocean if they could meet this man alive. But to do what he said, they don't think about that. And you notice then from which spirit such people are speaking. They would have liked to hear him, to see him, maybe even hugging him. This hundreds and thousands have done. And where are they today? They likewise walk on their own ways, just like those who like to go there. God has a plan. He has a way with His people. We can nothing for it, that He has shown us this way. But we are grateful in our hearts that we found grace in the sight of God. And this we see today, like in the days of Moses, and always, Lord, if I have found grace in Thy sight, then let me know Thy ways. And thereby we recognize if we found grace before God. Not the paying homage which we bring to a vessel, but the word that God spoke through the mouth of a man. This is what matters, and this we want to hear. And for this, nobody, as Moses writes in Deuteronomy 29, nobody needs to travel over the sea to fetch it, also not ascending up to heaven to bring it down. Nigh is the word to you, in your mouth, that you speak it. The word was given to us. We received it. We just need to do accordingly. Then we most surely are blessed. I am also glad that it becomes clearer and clearer that a true divine love is in our hearts, and that the peace of Christ can rule us. I spoke yesterday with my brother Jean Chilson, and I somehow felt how petitions of others are on his heart. And I believe with all of us, we feel for one another. We want to pour in every wound oil and wine. We don't want that anybody is put to shame, that all are helped. Now let us continue, God willing. We will also in the future have meetings. Everything always, as we shall say it, and so we also mean it. God willing, and we live. I said it yesterday. On the 1st of May, we think to be in Paris. It's a Friday. On the 2nd of May, in Brussels. This is a Saturday. And on the 3rd of May, God willing, then here. And I hope that we all like to travel in the meantime, and that we are part of such a round trip. May the Almighty God, with His presence, with His blessing, with the anointing of His Spirit, come upon the meeting, upon the speaker, upon the listeners, upon all of us, so that we truly hear in one spirit, understand, worship, that we could become one heart and one soul. Jesus said then in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, I would like to read this verse, and then I also go back to Ephesians. John chapter 3, verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So it's about that we are born of the Spirit of God unto a new life. We have said it. The seed for it is the Word of God. And we received the Word of God in us, and the Spirit of God quickened it. We speak at this weekend about the subject God's provided place of worship, the place that God has chosen for the elect, ordained for the foreordained, God laid everything. He is the Omniscient One and the Almighty. And by grace, we may let ourselves be placed by God. I would like to read from Ephesians 3 some more things. Ephesians 3 from verse 2. If ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you ward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words. Brother Rus read already what Paul was writing earlier. How deep go the thoughts of God. And we can agree with that what Paul writes in Romans. Romans 11, verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For the spirit of man, unsearchable, incomprehensible, of the Spirit of God, it says, the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. And also this, we experienced that the Spirit of God searches the deep things of God and revealed it to us. Paul writes on in Romans 3, verse 4, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Not to the scribes, not to the Pharisees, not the critics, but to his holy apostles and prophets. It was revealed. Everything what comes from God comes by revelation. Flesh and blood has not revealed unto us anything until this very day, and can also not reveal anything divine in the future. But the Spirit searches all things and reveals that what God wants to say unto us. And for this we are grateful with all our hearts. I would like to read a bit more about the name. If our Lord commands us to pray, or teaches us that we shall pray, hallowed be thy name, and by it he turns to the Father and says, if you want to pray, then pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Let us understand once for all that the name of the Father and the Son is the same name. For the Father revealed himself in the Son. The Son is the visible shape, the visible manifestation of the invisible God. Just like Yahweh in the Old Testament was Elohim in a visible shape, so the Son in the New is the Father manifested in a visible shape, always one and the same God. No matter with what designation we find him described in the Bible, how and where he reveals himself, He remains always the same, yesterday, today, and forever. And he says in the prophet Isaiah chapter 43, there is no God besides me. And this we believe until this very day. He is the only one and will remain the only one. And there is also only one name that was given to men by which they can be saved. Only one name whom they have to call upon to be saved. And already the prophet Joel prophesied, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How grateful we can be that we got this name revealed in its divine significance. And let us also believe it, that salvation was given to us. Most believers are an hindrance to themselves concerning the faith life. They think when they have become believers, then they hover over the clouds. No, we all remain here nicely on this earth and have to stand some kind of trials. And outwardly, we drive on the same streets and eat the same food as others eat, and one doesn't see the difference. But inwardly, something happened with us. We are grateful to God for it. Let me read from page 11. His name was the name of God. God has many titles. God itself is a title. He was called Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Nissi. He is called the Rose of Sharon, Lily of the Valley, Morning Star, Alpha, Omega, Beginning and End, then Father, Son, Holy Ghost, all these titles. But His name, God's name, is Jesus Christ, the Anointed One. That is His name. He has many titles, but one name, the only. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We touched upon this already. I read on just now. The prophet said it. Let us chase his name a little bit. The prophet said his name would be called Emmanuel. It's written in Isaiah. In Matthew 1:22 it says, this was all done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, whom you shall call Emmanuel, which is by interpretation God with us. Here is a great mystery. When the Lord became man, he was not called Emmanuel, but Yahshua. And the scribes knew the scripture very well to know, but it has to be Emmanuel. It must be God Himself. They didn't see it. I have spoken here about it. We have written about it. Everything has its time. The Emmanuel became Yahshua, and then he will be again Emmanuel, and all the earth will be full of his glory. Firstly, before he could be with us and in us, he had to become our Savior. And to be able to become our Savior, he had to appear in the body of flesh, so that he can die in the flesh, so that we are quickened in the Spirit. Oh, when I think on all these mysteries of God, then I'm deeply moved on my inside. People argue about it, and the simple among the people, they rejoice about it, because God has revealed it unto them. I read on, Emmanuel, God with us. His name was Jesus, as his Father's name. He came in his Father's name. There is where God placed his name, in his Son. That's the only place that you can worship him. The only place God will ever meet you is in the Son. Also, this we emphasized. We are so grateful to God. There is a meeting place with God in Jesus Christ our Lord. Then Brother Branham shows forth, in the Old Testament, the blood of the sacrifice was shed to bring an atonement for the people. In the New Testament, divine, holy blood was shed to bring forth a divine seed, to beget a divine kindred, a redeemed church that will then be presented without spot and without wrinkle in his presence. From page 12, I read the last passage. Here it speaks again of the name. In my name they shall cast out devils. This refers to the name of the Father. He put his name in Jesus Christ. In him he meets the worshipper. In him he meets us to cast out devils. In him he meets us to heal the sick. In him he meets us to save. In him he meets us to save and to fill with the Holy Ghost. That's God's only place to meet people for worship. Now we find out what Jesus also said. The word Jesus means Jehovah Savior. Jehovah Savior. Here Brother Branham shows forth that God meets us in the name Jesus. When we are about to cast out devils, whatever we do in words or in deeds, this we must and may do in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we do it in full awareness of the divine revelation and meaning of the name of Jesus of Nazareth, then God will be with us to give what we ask for and by it confirming his word. But we have to count with it. I mean counting with it that God does it. It continues here in a small passage on page 13. The Lord God has chosen the gate. He has chosen the door. Jesus said in John chapter 10, I am the door to the sheepfold. I am that door. He is Jehovah Savior. It was strange. Jesus spoke of the way. He was the way. He spoke of the truth. He is the truth. He spoke of the life. He is the life. He spoke of the resurrection. He is the resurrection and the life. He spoke of God and He is God. Everything of what He spoke, what He testified of, this He was. Dear brothers and sisters, it must come to the point that everything what God's Word testifies of us as children of God, this we must become, this we must be. Not just saying it, we must be it, and God will also perform it. We can rely on it. In the last passage on page 13 it says, there are so many infallible proofs that Jesus is this place. He is the door, He is the name, and the only provided way that God has given for man to meet in worship. He is the way, the truth, the life, the door, the gate, Alpha, Omega, beginning and the end, the Rose of Sharon, the Lily of the Valley, the Morning Star, and so forth. What shall be said by it? It shall be shown to us that He has become all in all for us. And I'm glad that I didn't read this sermon completely earlier, but just page for page, as it was necessary for our meetings. On page 14, in the second passage, Brother Branham says, let's find out what the Bible says now. In 1 Corinthians 12, the Bible says, by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. We are baptized into the body of Christ by one Holy Spirit. We are not by a handshaking, not by joining, not by water baptism we came in, but we are baptized with the Holy Ghost into the body of Jesus Christ. The Church of the Lord is a church that came into existence by the Spirit. It's a divine, a spiritual institution, even though we exist here still as people. But the Kingdom of God is not of an earthly kind. The eternal life, everything what we received from God, is supernatural, although we received it here already. Let us read from page 15, first passage. Now after you are in this body, Romans 8 verse 1 applies. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. This is the place where there is no condemnation. How could there still be a condemnation in Christ if He has taken the guilt upon Him, that He bore the sentence for us and our chastisement was laid on Him, so that we might have peace, and by His stripes we are healed? If any man be in Christ, he has become a new creature. Let me read on here in this passage. Whether you go to a Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian church, wherever it is, if you are in Christ, you are a new creature, and there is no condemnation in you, nowhere at all. That's God's meeting place. That's where God meets the worshipper. There is where you are accounted a new creature, for you are dead to the things of the world. You are alive in Him. The living presence of God is with them day by day. What a wonderful word! We can just say, Lord, let it be truly manifested that the living presence of God, yes, the quickening power, that it could be with us, making us alive by His grace. I read on. But look, Job, regardless of how many people tried to condemn him, how many said he was wrong, he was keeping the commandment of God by that burnt offering. He knew he was justified because he was keeping the commandments of God. That's how he was justified, because he was doing the things that God wanted him to do. Now I ask us, what God requires from us. What must you do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? What does God want me to do? What does God demand from you? What must you do? Where do you have to go? What is your task? What must we do? You know it already. To believe in the finished work of redemption of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. Believing on Jesus Christ saves us. Own works have no room where God's work was done. There not you are coming with that what you want to do. There God meets you with a work that we could not have done. Therefore He has done it for us. He took our place so that we can take His place. He died for us so that we can live for Him. Now we have only to believe. To believe divinely that we were reconciled and that the blood was shed on the cross of Calvary to reconcile us with God, to forgive all guilt, to blot out all sin, and to pull us out of condemnation, out of prison, out of death, to bring us into the glorious liberty of the children of God, unto a new life in Jesus Christ our Lord. This will not take place. This has taken place already. We read on here, the living presence of God lights up every day and leads from the death of creeds to life and to the word of the day. He who received life from God, not just who says it, but really who received it, Him, the Spirit of God, will lead to the word of the hour. It will be revealed to Him. God has things that He does. As a little flower, like I said the other morning at the breakfast, when a seed comes to light, it starts growing. It drinks from God's fountain, keeps pushing up till it gets to the bud part, gets up into the flower, up into the blossom. But the seed must come to the light. Therefore, God has given light at evening time, so that we can see what kind of a seed of the Word of God, based upon the promises in these days, is being sown. Blessed are all who hear and receive what the Spirit says unto the churches. And the Spirit does not speak outwardly, the Spirit speaks inwardly. And this means that He reveals the written word and brings the promises in the Word of God to light. And then comes growth, then comes life, and we walk forward by the grace of God. Last passage on page 15. God's only provided plan for any age is His Word. His Son came and manifested every promise that was promised for His age. Every word that was written to our redemption, in fact, about the birth and the work of the Redeemer, became divine reality. The hour was here. God watched over His word, and everything took place. In the same way it is now. The living God has arranged and classified everything. And when the hour for something in the kingdom of God comes, then God reveals His word to His servants and prophets, and by it to His people, namely to all them who are ready to hear what God has to say through His word. It continues here. All the prophets came just exactly on time. They were God's word living on earth. They were the word. Jesus said that they were gods. Jesus called those prophets gods. You can read it in Psalms 82 and also in John chapter 10. Our Lord really said it. On page 16, first passage, it says, now we find that in each age, when God said a certain thing would happen, here come that man along and manifested that. Here come that people along and lived that. That was God Himself living in the people, because it was the fulfillment of His word. Not you and I are able to by our own efforts. When the time comes in which God wants to do something, then He lays His word into us, and then comes His Spirit as power to this word, to quicken that word in us, to live out that word in us, to make it a reality. This Brother Branham wanted to express here. What was and who was John the Baptist? What was with him? It was a promise of God, which suddenly came to fulfillment, without efforts, without own doings. The prophet Isaiah has said, a voice cries in the wilderness, prepare ye the way for the Lord, make straight a path for our God. When the time was fulfilled, God spoke to John. You can read it, for John says, He who sent me to baptize, He said unto me, on whom you see the Spirit descending, it is Him. God has spoken. God has sent. He commissioned. In the same way it happened with the prophetic ministry of Brother Branham in our days. It continues here. God's only provided way and only provided plan today is His Son through His word for this age, quickened by the Spirit of His life. And I tell you today, he who doesn't see the manifestation of the Father in the Son, He who places one next to the other, he will not be able to place what God is doing now. God does not put one next to the other, not next to each other left and right. God places into the midst. God was not next to Christ. God was in Christ and reconciled the world with himself. And this, we must just see this way. If people put things left and right next to each other, then they put also the word left and right next to it. Then everything is aside, wrong. Then all the faith doesn't help anymore. You cannot put God and the things of God next to each other, but you have to put them into one another. One goes up in the other. Hallelujah, praise God. Also, we don't stay aside. We are in the Word because we are a part of the Word. I wished one would have words to express all this, but I think the Spirit of God reveals it to us. We not only sit here after the flesh, we go with after the Spirit. It says here, on the same page, down the last passage, no matter how well we are taught, how well we believe, and how much of the Bible that we say is true, or whether we believe that all is true, it's got to be the dynamics. The spark has to be there to set that word afire, to make it start rolling. It's got to have that. If you don't, the church sits still. The car sits still. You will sit still. No matter how much you say, I sympathize, I believe every word of that. You've got to have something to spark that off, to make that 100 octane go to firing, and the big church of God got to moving on. It's got to take the dynamics together with the mechanics. It's nothing wrong with the mechanics. What is lacking is the dynamics. The mechanics, and this we may say to the glory of God, we could place everything together by the grace of God. And I belong to them who are always astonished when the experts are at work. When somebody disassembles an engine into 1,000 pieces, and I wouldn't know where I would start, really not. And if then somebody is here who is able to do that, then this astonishes me. Suddenly all the pieces are one part, and if one starts, then it moves and one can drive. Nice thing. That's how it is here with God. And with all these things, in earthly things, I have absolutely no talent, and in the spiritual also not. But God has taken care for it. He placed it so clear before our eyes and has given us the pattern also to it, that we can place the things in such a way, namely on the place where they belong. And I believe that this has taken place. What now must come is really, as Brother Bram says here, the dynamics. I read on page 17. And I think that's what's the matter with the church today. We are lacking that dynamical power to press this word and make it live for this day, so that we don't stand next to it, but that we are in the midst of the matter and taking by faith the word of God, being convinced that God stands to his word and that he does what he promised, and then it will also take place. He goes on here, Martin Luther had the mechanics and dynamics of his day. John Wesley had them of his day. The Pentecostals had them in their day. What about our day? This is another time. The church should be fully grown now, ready to go to meet Christ with a manifestation of every blessing that He promised in the Bible, operating in that one great body where He promised that He would meet the people and be worshipped in this great church of His. What a word! What can we still say here? We can just say, Almighty God, make of your church, your temple, your manifestation place, the place where you dwell. Come to us again, as you did before, Lord, that it happens, that the church, as the mechanics, made up of various members, that it can be put together, and that then the divine dynamics, the power of the Spirit, can come into the church. When did our Savior begin His ministry? He was baptized, and then the Spirit came upon Him. Then still the temptation, but it was the starting into the ministry. May God give us by His grace the same. Here we are told what it is about, and I think Brother Rus read it from Ephesians 1. God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Here Brother Branham says, every blessing that He promised in the Bible should be manifested. And He also says, where and how? Operating in that one great body. So not only theory, not only words, not only presenting God's plan of salvation, but experienced divine reality within the Church of the Living God. And also today I ask, how many of us can believe that God is able to do it and He will do it? There are many who say, yeah, if Brother Branham would be here. Yes, at that time they could also have said, if Paul would have been here, if Moses, if all the prophets would be here. I will tell you when this happens and who must be here. Not some kind of great prophet, but the great God who revealed Himself in Jesus Christ and who became your and my Savior, who revealed unto us His name and His word. If He can fully reveal Himself in our midst, then nothing is lacking anymore. Then we don't need any prophet anymore. I tell you as it is, if a great prophet would come through whom God could work, then this great prophet would again get half of the glory, and the second half God would then receive. And this God absolutely doesn't want. He wants a church in which He can reveal Himself and in which He receives all the glory and worship. And I believe that we all understood and learned and know so much. No one of us is able to do even the slightest thing, and no one can take something except it is given to him by God. But that what God promised, this He will also give. And the restoration He promised, and He will give it. First the promise, and then He fulfills the promise. I read it again. every blessing that He promised in the Bible. Should be manifested, operating in that one great body where He promised that He would meet the people and be worshipped in this great church of His. The church shall be the meeting place of God with the people. Under the sound of the word, God meets us. God speaks very personal through His word with us. And if we didn't understand this, that God at this place speaks to us through His revealed word, then I don't know. Then we should receive it today from God and know that here the scripture is not being interpreted. Here God reveals His will through His word. Here it's not explained. Here it shall be lived out. This is a big difference. Here people don't interpret. Here God reveals His will. I'm 100% sure. Not a Brother Branham and not another man on earth could have known all these mysterious things of God. But God's Spirit searched all things and revealed all things. And we hear the pure and holy word of God. And by this divine truth, we are sanctified and thus become a vessel which God can bless and use. Every promise shall be fulfilled, namely in, and Brother Brim says, in His great church. We would say the word great, what meaning shall it have? Shall it be great in number? On what or how shall we measure it? Brother Branham has seen the church of the living God as something precious, as something valuable. And I believe also we understand the most precious what God has on earth is the blood-bought flock, are the pardoned ones, are the true children of God. These days are about us. Also this word, once again, as we read it already last night, the Lord said to the woman, "Woman, believe me, the time is here where it is not worshipped on this mountain and not in Jerusalem, but where the true worshippers worship God in spirit and in truth." Beloved, I believe the following. There, where God reveals through His Spirit His word, there comes divine inspiration. There comes divine anointing. There we can worship in the Spirit, and God will come to help us. Today, we should thank Him by faith, worshiping by faith, with a joyful heart, being convinced He has revealed unto us His word and His will. He revealed unto us His name. He revealed everything to us. Him we want to thank today with all our heart and with all our soul. Do you also feel like it? I hope that we all can likewise say, it was good to be here, and our hearts burned when He spoke with us. The divine seed comes to light. The growing is going on. The buds, the blossoms, and then the fruit will come forth. Let us look to the Lord. He started, He will finish. He will bring everything wonderfully to pass. As certain as the promises for certain times were fulfilled in them and on them who lived at that time, so certain The last promises will now be fulfilled in the last church age, with them and in them who live now. The condition is that we believe God, that we take Him at His word, to by it create the condition that He can fulfill on us what He promised. Abraham believed God, and this was accounted unto him for righteousness. During the 25 years, he did not stagger through unbelief. If somebody wanted to drag him in a conversation into unbelief, then he was gone already. He believed with all his heart. And the Bible says, he didn't get weak, but he became stronger because he gave God the glory. Hallelujah. Because he gave God the glory. Because he trusted God. Because he believed God. Therefore he gave him the glory. Why do we give God the glory? Because we believe Him. Because we love Him. Because we trust Him. And know what He promised to us, this He will also do. Oh, may the Spirit of God work in all of us such a confidence, such a faith, a trust, a love, that we just would have to say, Lord, we don't understand it fully yet. Why did you just speak to us? Why you revealed just to us your word and your will? But now the lot has fallen on us. To us a great inheritance has been given. And for this we want to thank the Lord today with all our hearts. Not being cramped on our inside, not corded up, but open. You all know a covered vessel one cannot fill. One has to open it so that it can be filled. Today we want to open ourselves before the Lord in prayer so that He can fill the empty vessels. And I believe He will fill us. He will bless us from the riches of His grace. Amen.